Why do we do this? Last Thursday, I spent the day grocery shopping and cooking a meal for 200 people at the Johnson County Food Ministry with Pam Boyd and Jan Pankey and Maggie Howard. The day went well and we fed a lot of people. When it was done, I was tired. I went home, I showered, I laid down in my bed. The day had worn me out. We got there through a series of unfortunate events. Carol Prentice, of course, is our regular cook at the Johnson County Food Ministry. She's been cooking down there for 7 years, but she had her foot surgery a couple weeks ago. She thought she would be back in time, but then an infection caused her to have to spend some more time in the hospital, and it was obvious she was not going to be able to make it. So last weekend, she said, "We're going to need somebody else to cook." And I was like, "Oh, goodness, okay." And that afternoon, Jackie Watts calls me from her whirlwind flower tour and says, "Not a problem. I fly back in Wednesday, and I don't fly out till Friday. I got you covered." And I was like, "Excellent." Wednesday night, Jackie calls me about 8 o'clock. I'm walking out of Walmart with my sister-in-law and her husband. My phone rings. Jackie says, "I've got some bad news." She said, "I hurt my leg. And I went to the doctor today, and the doctor said I need to stay off of it for 36 hours. So, Thursday morning, I took the grocery list, went down to Restaurant Depot. I gathered the ingredients that Carol had given me. She had given me an idiot-proof recipe. So I gathered what I needed. I gathered my volunteers. Pam, I've only got one leg, Boyd. Jan, I just closed on the sale of my house 5 minutes ago, Panky. And Maggie, this is the last day of my vacation, Howard. And off we went. We headed to Olathe. We fixed a fine meal. Au gratin potatoes and ham, green beans, lettuce salad, a roll, and of course cakes that many of you fine people had baked for us. There was only one minor mishap in the day. We got there, we put together, I had these boxes, 8 boxes of au gratin potatoes. They were dehydrated. They came with a sauce packet, and we cubed up the ham. And I guess I got different hams than Carol does. My hams were like this big around. It was like a side of pork. I don't know why they were so big. We still have ham left over. We cubed up our ham. I put the au gratin potatoes in the pan. I put the boiling water in. I put in the sauce packets. I made a huge mess. Jan Pankey, every 5 minutes, is walking behind me, wiping off the counter, going, "You are really messy." We get them put in the convection oven. They cook for an hour. I pull them out. They're looking great. They're getting a little crisp on top, just a little brown with the potatoes have sucked up all the water, so they're rejuvenated, right? We stir them all up. It's got ham and cheese and potatoes in there. And I go to put them in my warming oven. My warming oven is this tall oven. I've got it set at 165 degrees to keep the food hot. Before I put my potatoes in there, I have a 5-pound bag of shredded cheese, and I sprinkle cheese over the top, and I stick them in my warming oven for 45 minutes before we serve. Comes time to serve, and I pull the first tray out, and I'm taking it out for the servers, and I notice the cheese has not melted on top. Now, 165 degrees for 45 minutes ought to be long enough to melt any cheese. Can't figure it out. Every tray I pull out, the cheese is still sprinkled on top, but it's not melted. That doesn't make any sense. I keep touching the oven, making sure it is on. I stick my hand in it. It's warm. It's surely warm enough to melt cheese. Can't figure out what's going on. We get to the third tray, and it's still not melting. And now it's been in there for over an hour. And I'm like, this does not make any sense. I go over to the trash can, and I dig down in it, and I pull out that empty bag of the shredded cheese, and I read on it, imitation cheddar cheese for salad bars. People didn't seem to mind. They ate it anyway. Besides that little hiccup, the day went well. It was tiring, but we fed 200 people. And as I got home and I got cleaned up and I'm laying there in bed, I'm tired. The day is kind of rattling around in my head. The question comes up, why do we do this? It was a bit of a misadventure getting it done, a bit of a chore, it was a task. It was hard work, a lot of refiguring and realigning and repurposing of our resources. Why go through with it? And of course, that question leads to the bigger question, why do we do all this stuff? Snack packs and backpacks and food ministry and Meals on Wheels. Why do we let the Johnson County Parks and Rec kids come here in the summer when it's hot and raining? Why do we provide space for cello concerts and strings recitals, host Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, and give space to our region? Why do all of this? It would be easier, much, much easier to do none of it. To close this stuff down and just sit here by ourselves, it would be easier, it would be cheaper, it would be less of a hassle. Why do we do all of this? I wrestle with this question every day, especially when events conspire to make the things we do harder. Why do we do this? Why bother? What do we get out of it? That's the real question. What do we get out of all this busy work? What's our end? What's our benefit? I joke with my fellow cooks on Thursday that our bench is not very deep. I'm afraid we won't make it very far into the playoffs because we don't have many players we can call in off the bench to come into the game. Maybe we just aren't enough for all of this. Maybe we are too old. Maybe we are too small. Maybe we are too poor to do all of this. Why do it? And then I read this week's lectionary scripture. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. Ah, yes. That's right. I remember now. It isn't about me. It isn't about us. It's about Jesus. We don't do all of this. It is Christ who accomplishes it all through us. We are but slaves to Christ. It's not about me. It's not about we. It's about thee. That's right. That's why we do this. Not to proclaim us, not to proclaim our self-righteousness, but to proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's right. We have this treasure, this salvation, this righteousness, this hope, this grace, this love, this forgiveness. We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We do it for thee, O Lord. That's why we find a way to cook a meal, to deliver meals, to pack backpacks, to make space for others in this temple. That's right. It turns out it isn't about us at all. We like to make it about us, focus on our shortcomings, our limitations, our frailty. The world says it should be about us, right? Me, me, me. The world says get yours because nobody else is going to get it for you. The world likes to turn that lens inward and says it's all about me. What about mine? And Jesus comes along and says, what about it? What if this isn't all there is? What if there is something more? What if there is something better? What if there is something godly? What if it isn't about me at all, but about the other, about the stranger, about the next? What if I diminish me and promote thee, O Lord? What might happen then? It won't be easy. Putting myself last and others first, putting myself last and God first, proclaiming not me, not we, but thee, won't be easy. As I sweat in a hot kitchen last week, I knew it's not going to be easy. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. It is not easy. This life that we have chosen, we have decided to follow Jesus, and it turns out that's hard work. It is not easy. So why do we do it? So that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. I carry socks in my car, new socks. I've opened the package and I fold them and I stick a granola bar down inside of them so they can sit in my car in the hot summer or the cold winter and not be affected. When I'm driving around Kansas City, I pull up to an intersection and I see somebody standing there with one of those signs that says anything helps. Saw a guy last week on the plaza. He had a sign that said, not a prostitute, but I like this corner. I rolled down my window and I told him, don't sell yourself short. But when I see those people standing there, I roll my window down and I get the box right behind the driver's seat. I grab a pair of socks and with a smile, I hand them the socks and I say, stay safe. God bless. And that's the entirety of our interaction. I don't quote scripture to them. I don't tell them they need Jesus. I don't tell them to get a job or go to a shelter because they're dirtying up the neighborhood by standing on that corner. I just give them socks and a blessing that they might see a glimpse of Jesus in fresh, clean socks. Because who doesn't like putting on a pair of fresh, clean socks? We do this to make Jesus visible to the world in our bodies, in our mortal flesh. Not that we might be more visible, but that Jesus might be more visible. The world will see Jesus through these backpacks, through these dinners, through this space made available for scouts and cellos. The world will see Jesus through this. That is why we do this, because the world needs to see Jesus today. This world full of hate, full of racism and misogyny, full of pride and greed, full of arrogance and selfishness. This world where people refer to people of color as apes, where they refer to women as objects, where they refer to children as disposable, this world needs to see Jesus somewhere. Who's going to show it to Sometimes I don't know if I can do it. I'm tired. I'm worn down, Lord. I'm frustrated. I don't know if I can go one more step. I don't know if I can do one more thing. I know the world needs to see you, Lord, but I just don't know if I have it in me. But you know, Lord. You who have searched and known me, who knit me together. You know what I have left. You know what I can do. You know what is within me, for it is thee, O Lord. So we rise again from where we have been resting for just a moment. We brush ourselves off and we go again. Another meal, another backpack, another food drive, another cello recital. We get up and we go again and again and again, because even in our exhaustion, we remember why we do this. Not we.